As we were going through the nature of ideas, after spirit, we came to the nature of life, to the nature of the fatherhood of the idea, to that facet of the spiritual reflection that is forever projecting forth the image, that is ever fatherhooding its idea with all that it is, and the idea being able to fatherhood itself then with all that it is. If, in truth, I can sit in that reflection and give unto myself every quality of the divine being, and give unto the entirety of the universe the quality of the divine being, the sevenfold nature of the divine being, then I am really in a transparency that has no limits. I am really magnanimous, because I'm so in the midst of that provision, so in the midst of that life, that I cannot rob anything of what it is. I cannot take away from any facet of my own real being or the being of the rest of the universe that which it is. And if I'm giving unto it that which it is, I am truly magnanimous. I'm magnanimous to the point of being merciful in that I don't give anything a past. Think about it. Think of what would happen if you didn't give yourself a past, if you started out from this very instant, no history, no past, simply a reflecting idea within the universe of the divine objective being. No past, no history. And if you didn't give anybody else a past or history, you didn't condemn them to their sense of history, their sense of age, their sense of anything. That is mercy. And anything less than that is not mercy. That's really being merciful, to let everything be so instantaneous, so spontaneous, that it is provided by its creator. Therefore, it is providing itself with the divine nature every instant, right now. Isn't that wonderful? That is such a high sense of humanhood. I just really want to be doing that for myself and for every other idea all the time. I want to be giving the divine qualities unto myself and to the universe always. Because if I'm not giving, I'm withholding. I'm being critical, I'm being self-consuming, I'm withholding, I'm withdrawing, I'm bring upon myself a sense of lack. If I feel I lack qualities, I'll bring it upon myself. If I feel that others lack qualities, they will always respond that way to me. They may not to others, but they will always respond the way to me that I see them. So if I give them their full value, they must reflect back full value. So it is my job in the life position here, which is the projecting forth of that universal reflection, to feed and pour forth and give unto myself all of the infinite qualities of being, and to give unto every facet of the universe those qualities. Help me from robbing the universe of its divinity. If I had a prayer, that's what I would say. You know? May I not fall heir to robbing the universe of its divinity and robbing myself of my own divinity. All right, that reflection is also going through a truth phase of sonshipping itself. So the idea is capable of acknowledging its inheritance of acknowledging that which it really has, that which it really is. So as an idea, I am capable of acknowledging within myself my divinity. I am capable of claiming that. I am capable of confirming that within myself. And as I confirm that within myself, I confirm it for the universe. And as I do that, I am upholding the highest standard in the universe that I could possibly uphold. And to do anything less is not to uphold that standard. And if I don't do that, whether I want to or not, I am being negative. I am being destructive. Even if there isn't anything in my heart that would wish to be destructive, I am being destructive. If I am not upholding every facet of the infinite universe in its entirety, I am automatically denying it what it is, and denying unto myself what I am. Please, I pray, not to do that. Not for myself or for the universe. Not to negate my divine inheritance. Be the sun, be the air, accept that which God has given, accept it for as your divine inheritance. Accept that which you are. And that brings us to love, the last aspect of this law of universal reflection, where each and every idea is really motherhooding itself. Each and every idea is really in a position of being able to nurture and cherish and tend and care for its own ideational being, its own true being, and that of the rest of the universe. Can I reflect the motherhooding quality that is going on within being? Can I reflect that motherhooding function that is going on within being? I hope so, because it's really going on within my being. Therefore, if I am reflecting that motherhooding quality, if I am caring for and tending and nurturing and cherishing and holding and accepting my own divinity, my own ideational being, and doing likewise for the totality of the rest of the universe, I am the most compassionate that I can be. I am an outpouring of love. I will behave in a manner that is ever available. If a facet of that universe comes knocking at my door, I will be there. Because love always meets the human need. So if love is meeting that need, I must meet that need. If I am love, if I am functioning in that manner, then I too must meet the need of the universe. Not on my shoulders, right, as one individual mother, you know, trying to mother the whole universe. No, no, I will just be reflecting the function that is going on within the motherhooding of that universe, as it is motherhooding the idea, that divine object. I too must be motherhooding my own ideational being and that of the rest of the universe. Yes, yes, yes. Caring for it, tending it. Yes? So, I will be there for promoting the glory of the rest of the universe. And promoting my own, you know, but in a really good way. And if I'm not doing that, well, I'm doing the opposite. So I become fatalistic. I don't feel my specific place within the whole. I don't feel my specific mission within the whole. And I feel that my life has no purpose, that it has no plan, that it's been for nothing. And I feel that nobody else's has much purpose and plan either. I see a universe that's just kind of doing not much, or for not any real reason and purpose. It seems to be operating, but not for the glory of the whole. Well, we look about us. What do we see? We see a universe at odds, especially on this planet. We see a universe of quote-unquote people at odds with one another. Certainly not caring for and tending and nurturing and accepting each other as divine idea. Well, this is the solution. This law of universal reflection, which we will go into in greater depth after we break for lunch, is the solution to what is going on in the world today. The belief is that the world would like to blow itself up into little itty-bitty bits and put itself asunder into a billion fragments. Well, that's just the opposite of love. But if I am exemplifying the motherhooding qualities in being, if I am reflecting those qualities in being, then I am going to be holding and containing the entirety of that universe in my embrace. And I'm going to be tending and cherishing it like a baby in my arms, never letting it go. And that will reflect in the universe. That will be my universe. And my universe won't blow up. And it won't be full of fragments. And I won't come out saying I've had a purposeless life, or that I had no high aim and purpose in my life. No. I will feel fulfilled and will see the universe fulfilled. Not materially, mind you, because this is a spiritual universe in a spiritual reflection. But it must echo down to every dimension of consciousness, including the one that I appear to be living in. Let's not be mystic and say all these laws are going on the chart, but I'm off the chart down here somewhere, wallowing around in the mud, never really imbibing the fullness of my being. No, you're on the chart. That is the model of your being. Not just of being, that's the model of your being. Why? Because in Absolute Christian Science and Christianity, we've just seen that that being gave unto you all that it was. So it gave unto you the whole model of its being. And it's preserving that model of being for you, for me. And by virtue of reflection, in this law of universal reflection here, I therefore have the capability of providing that model of being for myself. And preserving that model of being for myself and for the rest of the universe. What better aim or purpose could I have? None that I can think of. With that, we'll break for lunch. We have just flowed through the law of universal reflection, viewing it objectively, viewing that which it is as the nature of ideas, and that which it is, if viewed from the standpoint of the true humanhood or mortal manhood. I would now like to take a few minutes to zero in on the life, truth, and love portion of that law of universal reflection, because within it lies the fatherhooding, the sonshipping, and the motherhooding of that divine idea, or the way in which that divine reflection is functioning. And there's a wonderful exercise that it's embedded within that place value. I would like to share that exercise with you and then enthuse you to the point that you will allow that exercise to flow through your consciousness morning, noon, and night, wherever you are. Even if it isn't as a drill, that it is flowing through your consciousness as an awareness of your universe. Totally different from a false perception of universe, a perception that I might have from my isolated, fragmented, separated point of view, which is really not possible, no point of view. So that brings us back to the place values of life, truth, and love, giving us the fatherhooding, the sonshipping, and the motherhooding of the idea. Let us follow the logic of that reflection, and let us never lose that logic in our awareness at any moment in our living experience, ever. Because this law is going on in being, and if we are wise, we don't wish to break it at all. The fatherhooding, the life portion of this particular function, is saying that the idea, by virtue of reflection, is capable of providing itself with the full nature of the infinite. That as it provides itself with the qualities of the infinite being, by virtue of its ability to reflect or project, it is simultaneously and automatically providing those qualities for every other facet of the universe, for every other idea that exists in the universe. It is also saying that every other idea in the universe, every other facet of the universe, is functioning in the same manner. Therefore, every other facet of this universe, the one universe, is providing itself or fatherhooding itself with all of the qualities of the divine, and that it too is not only doing it for itself, but it is giving that quality, those infinite qualities of the divine, to every other facet of the universe, including that which appears as me. So you have a fourfold reflection there, which is typed out on your next paper, which says the family law, which is just an endearing way of referring to the law of universal reflection. We are in the life section, the fatherhood of the ideas here, providing, sustaining, maintaining, giving, projecting, feeding, flooding. Can't you just feel this life outpour, pouring forth of life, that not only does the infinite being pour forth what it is for its idea, but that the idea, because it functions in the same manner, is continually pouring forth these ideas for itself, continually providing itself with all of the qualities of the divine, with all of the qualities that it has been provided by the divine. And so we have an A, B, C, and D here. A stating that each idea, or that which I am, is fathering itself with all of the qualities of the infinite being, thereby the qualities of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, which we have agreed upon represent the qualities of the infinite being. The implications in this are wonderful, and we'll do a few of them so you can hear how really glorious it is that we have this wonderful opportunity to provide ourselves with these qualities and to provide the whole universe with these qualities. And we must keep in mind that if we do not give unto ourselves and to the universe these qualities, we are automatically robbing ourselves and the universe of these qualities. And we advertently or inadvertently do this all the time. If you are not really giving unto your own being and that of the rest of the universe its divinity, you are robbing yourself and the rest of the universe of its divinity. And we have to come to terms with that as a fact and say, do I wish to rob myself and the universe of the abundance of the qualities of being? I don't want that guilt hung on my head, to tell you the truth. Therefore, I at least must sincerely attempt and try not to do that. But the best way I know of not to fall into that trap is to flow this law so much through my consciousness that it becomes a hum within me, not just intellectually, but within my heart, within my soul, within my being. It becomes a hum within me that automatically would keep me from breaking the law. And if I inadvertently, for an instant, break the law, it comes back, and it just jars you so much, you can feel yourself doing it instantaneously, and you say, oh, no, sorry, wrong basis, didn't mean to do that, incorrect, / forget, finished, start over. No, that isn't true, this is true. And you reprogram that which is really happening within being so that you can flow with the law in being and not inadvertently go against it. So let's follow the implications of what is happening with the fatherhooding, then, of this law. Seems that we always start with a mind quality because, you know, it's the first. Let's do it again. And then we'll go to something totally different to give ourselves another example. And through the fatherhooding and the sonshipping and the motherhooding, I'll keep taking examples from different synonymous terms so that we get a full view of how it might feel for all of it. As a divine idea, as a divine facet of the infinite universe, by virtue of reflection, I am giving unto myself intelligence. Not just is mind giving unto me intelligence, but by virtue of the fact that I exist within that mind and I reflect its function, I am giving that intelligence unto myself. I am capable of providing myself with intelligence. and providing every other facet of the universe with intelligence, every other idea in the universe with intelligence. I can do it. I must do it. And I must see that every other idea in the universe is truly giving unto itself, is truly providing itself with divine intelligence, and thereby providing every other idea in the universe with that intelligence. Now, if I believe that there's something outside of me that is unintelligent, am I doing this? No. I am robbing that individuality of its God-given intelligence. Forget the fact that maybe it believes that it's robbing itself of divine intelligence. I must follow this law and not only provide myself with that divine intelligence, but provide that other individuality and all other individualities with that divine intelligence, and then further realize that it truly is giving unto itself that divine intelligence, whether it realizes it or not. That on a higher dimension, it is giving unto itself that divine intelligence. And if I hold that strongly enough in my consciousness, if I recognize that truly it is providing itself with the divinity of its intelligence, with the ideational intelligence that is its real being, and providing every other idea with that intelligence, including me, I will not then be guilty of robbing that individuality of its intelligence. I must do this. How many times a day do we say, oh God, I've done a very dumb thing, you know? All right. But we're robbing ourselves of the divinity of our intelligence. Recognize that maybe we were off the mark and correct it, but then acknowledge that it's not possible for me to rob myself of the divinity of my intelligence. And if I wish to combine the terms of the power of that intelligence, and the basis of that intelligence, and the law of that intelligence, the very information of that intelligence. I cannot rob myself or another of any of the divine factors of intelligence. Nor should I wish to, nor should any other individuality fall heir to that, and in my consciousness at least, it must never be so.